Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Thanks so much for joining us. Welcome to the show. I wanted to let you know our next guest is going to be fantastic, so stay tuned. But before I get into that, I wanted to tell you about ExitCoachRadio.com and our audio library, where we have interviewed over 750 advisors, authors, and thought leaders, and that includes over 150 Vistage speakers. It's a wonderful place to go to learn. We have 40 different topic file folders. Things like running a family business, preparing for your exit, life after exit, retaining key employees, growing your business, et cetera, et cetera. So please join us there at exitcoachradio.com in the audio library. My next guest is Mickey Williams, and she is a chair of a Vistage International group, as well as a speaker in the Vistage International system. And Mickey is the CEO of Mickey Williams Unlimited, and she is in the Speaker Hall of Fame as a professional speaker, I should say, an executive speech coach, producer of speaker schools, and a Vistage speaker and chair of two of their executive peer advisory boards. We're going to talk about how to be an effective presenter, and Mickey should know because she is an effective presenter. Mickey, welcome to the show. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks so much, Bill. Delighted to be here.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to have you. Tell us a little bit about your background, Mickey, and maybe you can add in a little bit about Vistage International there, since you're very involved with that. But tell us about yourself.
Sure. Where do you want me to start? No. I guess I'm what you call a serial entrepreneur. I've had about 9 different businesses. And in 1987, I decided I wanted to see the world and look for an opportunity to do so. And I thought if I leveraged my talents of being on stage, my life experience, and my business acumen, I could become, poof, a professional speaker, which is what I did 28 years ago, about 20 years ago. And I might add, as a little, if I may digress, Bill, next week I will speak in Montana, and that's significant because once I check off Montana, I can officially say I've spoken in every U.S. state, every Canadian province, and every continent in the world except Antarctica, where I cannot wear my stilettos.
That's amazing. I mean, not many people can say that. That's fantastic.
Yeah,
congratulations.
So that and the Speaker Hall of Fame 2 years ago really caused me to look at what's next. So I'll go backwards again. So serial entrepreneur, lots of businesses, sold the last one in 87, embarked in this professional speaking career about 20 years ago, giving a speech in New York, a Vistage chair, although it was called Tech back then, came in to learn how to speak, and then he came up to me, invited me to speak to his group, and the rest, as they say, is history. So I've been a Vistage speaker for 20 years, and then 15 years ago, they asked me to chair my own groups, which I had no plan on doing, but absolutely love. I have 2 groups in Chicago for the past 15 years. So I balance the professional speaking with the Vistage speaking and the Vistage chairing, along with about 8 other divisions of my company.
And for those listeners who don't know, Vistage International is a tremendous peer group for CEOs to get together, really work with other CEOs to deal with problems and issues. And people like Mickey are the moderators, the chairs of those groups, and they bring in speakers themselves and talk about all the issues that you may be thinking, I wish I had someone to talk about out there in the business owner land, where you're saying, you know, it's kind of lonely out here. I need to learn about that. So it's a tremendous group. Now, what impact has Vistage International had on you and your speaking career?
Well, for me, the bottom line, it's paid marketing for a lot of speakers who speak for them. So the revenue is not my regular fee level, but again, in 20 years, I've never had to make an outside marketing call. So if you're good, you know, not everybody has success in the Vistage Network. It's a very powerful group, and it's not your average group of listeners, because they're all executives, been there, done that. So I've been very fortunate and very grateful that it's just really been a huge catalyst for my career, both for the fact that not only do they hire me for their companies or for their one-on-one executive speech coaching, but a lot of them serve on the boards of their associations, so I get to do a lot of association meetings as well. So a lot of what I do today comes out of my Vistage experience, even though it's not directly tied to it. So I was a certified life coach. I did that for a while. And then when I, as a Vistage chair, I do all business coaching because I coach all my executives every month. And then I started to see the need for the executive speech coaching. So I've really niched myself. I dropped the life coaching. I still do the business coaching with the CEOs, but I do on my private coaching enterprise, it's all executive speech coaching. And that, of course, fulfills the seats of my speaker school and my Mickey Mouse Club and all the other things that I do that are kind of tied to executive speech coaching.
And tell us about that. So you have speakers schools. Tell us about that concept. How does that work?
Yeah, I was doing it for years, and I had a mixture of wannabe speakers, professional speakers, executives, housewives, you name it. Everybody needs some kind of speech training, and now it's pretty much geared to the executive community, but there are, again, aspiring speakers and professional speakers in it as well. And so even though it's called Speaker School, it's really about learning how to speak and how to present yourself and how to tell stories. And it's also, there's a whole day on business development that's not just for speakers. So I was doing four of them a year in Chicago, and they were filling up. I don't take a lot. I take, 16 to 20 people because it's a very individualized experience. And I did them to anchor me to this great city that I love. And 2 years ago, Bill, a chair in Atlanta, Larry Hart, said, I want to come to speaker school, but I don't want to fly to Chicago. I'll have it here in Atlanta. And I hemmed and hawed because, my goal was to stay home. But I did it, and it was so successful that next year the model of my business is changing again. I will be doing a speaker school all over the country in about 6 different cities. And so that's a big thing for me. And cutting back on some of the speaking, only select clients for under certain situations.
That's wonderful. Now, what are some of the most common tips that you would give people who attend those types of schools? What are some of the things that you see happen over and over again that you say, this is a common wisdom that you need to know about?
Well, aside from the ums and sos that they all do, and teaching them how to stop doing that, because that's very common. One of the simplest things I could share with you and everybody who's listening is what I call the 3 W's, and that this is shocking for most people. It's so simple, it's so shocking that some people say this was worth the price of admission alone. Day one is all presentation skills. Day two is all video coaching of them, and day three is all business development. So I call it the 3 W's. That means you walk into position. You don't stand there next to somebody who's introducing you. The second W is you wait. That's that silence, that uncomfortable silence. So I tell people, get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And you wait so everybody stops talking, fidgeting, and doing, and all eyes are on you. So you don't start talking while you're walking, and you make sure there's a break once you get there. And the slash of the second W is weight, W-E-I-G-H-T, weight on both feet. Guys, no hands in the pockets. Gals, no slumping into one hip. And the third W is probably the most important one. No good morning, no thank you for being here, no thank you for inviting me. That's what I call blah, blah, blah. You just start. You start with a story, a quote, a poem, a question, a statistic. I mean, there's a whole bunch of them that I teach in speaker school. But that's the most important tip I can give you because it shocks everyone and they find it so valuable. And the same thing you don't end with, thanks for inviting me, it was great to be here. That is all a sign of an amateur, blah, blah, blah.
Those are great tips. They make the amateur seem professional right out of the gate, because I think a lot
Absolutely.
Of people think when they're giving a speech, the most awkward part is the beginning, probably, and the ending, it sounds like.
Absolutely, Bill. You're right on target. So if you do it the way I teach people, it exudes confidence right off the bat, and you get the attention and you hold it, because a lot of people have to work so hard to get the attention, and they're losing it instead of getting it. So, yeah, it's a simple tip, but like I said, everybody at speaker school always says, wow, that's how we start.
That's great. Great. I will learn something right out of the gate here. That's fantastic. So now you have executive speech coaching as well, right? So is that different from the speaker schools?
Yeah, and I usually recommend when someone calls me directly for speech coaching, my goal is to try to get them to go to a speaker school first because, as I explained, that gives us a platform from which to work. If I start with one-on-one coaching without it, I mean, I still do a lot of that, but sometimes I'm winding up in the teaching mode, whereas the other way we kind of had a head start. So I would say 50% of the people that I suggest that to do the speaker school. I had a real interesting coaching situation this year. I did a two-week speaking tour for Vistage UK in March. And by the way, the CEO of Vistage UK just came to my speaker school this past weekend.
That's great.
So he obviously liked what I did on tour. So after that, one of the CEOs hired me to work by Skype to coach him, executive coaching. And I think some of your listeners will find this really interesting. So he was changing the name of a company, a $40 million company had been around for a while. He was expanding their products and services, and the existing name didn't encompass that. So he knew, thank goodness, as a CEO intuitively, that a name a change in a company that goes throughout the company is hard for everybody, does not deal well with change. And a name change, people get very attached to it. I have firsthand experience that with both Tech Vistage and my NSA association. So he hired me to help him deliver a 10-minute speech to the company. And I do an interview when I'm starting with people. I interview them about their personal life, their professional life. So it turns out, as in the conversation, just the casual conversation, he's talking about highlights and lowlights of his life. He said, well, my wife and I, you know, had a child this year, and that sure has changed our life. And, of course, I was listening for that word, change. And then he said, not only that, we now have a special needs child, so we're dealing with profound change. So I kind of tucked that away in my coaching hat, and we continued the conversation. And the way it ended up is his speech, I gave him his opening. It was a quote, which he also ended with a variation on it. And then he went into what I call objectives, but in this case I made them promises, not objectives. And then I asked him if he was comfortable telling that personal story to all his employees, and he said he was. And then we added two more stories because I'm all about stories. And that was his whole speech. And about a week before he's ready to give it, he contacted me on Skype and he went, are you sure? And I said, Jim, you hired me as your coach. You got to trust me. I am more than sure. So he delivered it, and he couldn't wait to get back to me and say, you know, I've just never experienced a moment like that where I looked out over the sea of employees and they had tears in their eyes. I was so human and real to them that I had them so engaged after that. He said, I got a standing ovation from my own company. And usually they're rolling their eyes when the CEO stands up to speak, and now they're on board for the change, and now the media wants me to repeat the same speech. So for me, that was just so rewarding hearing that.
So by taking it down to the human level, he then got everybody on. It's like the I'm picturing a train station where the CEO train usually just blasts right through the station. In this case, it slowed down and stopped so everybody could get on board with that humanization story, and then it took off with everybody on board.
Yeah, you know, that's a great way. It's a good metaphor, Bill, and if you've ever read or anybody's read Patrick Lencioni's first book, The Five Temptations of a CEO, one of them was vulnerability, where executives in the C-suite always thought of that as a weakness. It's really been proven to be a great strength, and yet many of them are not comfortable showing that side for that same reason. And so when Jim did that, it really showed his authenticity, his humanity, his vulnerability, and it became a great connector. You know, part of what my mission right now, one of my newest speeches that I'm giving the most, is the art and heart of storytelling. And it's getting executives engaged in the stories of their life, personal and professional, to use that to engage people. Because the old days of left brain, right brain has been sort of disproven by neuroscience and cultural anthropology, saying that, you know, we're wired for stories. We can only picture and retain things that we can picture. Even those who are numbers-oriented, we just don't retain those numbers. So, you know, I had two economists in my speaker school this weekend, and their main job is just, I mean, let's face it, economists are not known to be the snappiest speakers in the world because they have to give data. And so
right.
What they came for was learning how to wrap a story around their data. And a perfect example was, you know, giving real estate data and statistics was done through the effective story of how one of their daughters just got married and was buying their first new house and all that. The story was around humans in real estate. And then we can embrace the data because we have something to hold on to. Do you get what I'm saying?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I've heard from psychologists that the word story is because it's the way we store that memory in our brain. It came out of that. So it is, you know, even the word itself means that's how we're storing that information. So stories are so important to give life to this data and statistics. And it's so very important. Now,
another quick one. I did a Vistage All City, and that's for all the members of one area in Philadelphia. And one of those CEOs hired me. I run another program called Keynote Camp, which is a 2-day intensive. We'll come out of it with a keynote. Well, we got together. He actually flew to my Florida home for this. And the first part of it was like pulling teeth because he kept saying, I have to memorize and I have to write it down. And those are two things that I do not allow my coaching students to do because I teach them a method where they won't have to do that. I don't think he believed me. And so we're kind of struggling through this first day. And I said, Steve, let's just go to lunch and talk. So he had to give a speech. He wanted a keynote on leadership, and he's one who said, you know, his speeches are never received well when he has to give the state of the industry, and he wanted a theme this year was leadership. And in the course of that lunch, I found out that he had been at the Boston Marathon bombing, and I just looked at him. I said, that's your speech. And he looked at me. He said, what's my speech? I said, that. He said, I don't get it. I said, I know. You will. I said, do you have to memorize that story? Could you tell me again what you just told me? He said, yeah, of course. I said, did anyone take charge of the bombing? He said, oh, yeah, there were lots of scenes. I said, isn't that leadership? And all of a sudden, I could see his eyes widen. And it turned out that that became his entire speech. We just injected the quotes and the humor and all the other things around leadership within the context of his story. And again, it was a smash, an absolute smash.
Now, when you're coaching professional speakers who want to make a living out of that, is one of the first things that you tell them they need to do is to have some kind of collateral, like a book or some kind of a thing to give away? Is that a necessary component for professional speakers today?
A great question, Bill, but it's definitely not a book. And so many new people, I don't know who tells them that. They'll go out and write a book, and who's buying their book? I mean, it just makes no sense. What you need, basically, you need a website and you need what we call a one sheet in the industry. And a one sheet is just either one side or two sides that has a mini bio, mini testimonials, partial client list, photo, et cetera. Those are your two basics. Anyone who tells you you have to have books and tapes and all that stuff, no, they don't. And you have to have a video demo. So that is important. But that's your basics. I mean, I coach a lot of aspiring speakers and professional speakers. So it really depends on the level that you're at. What I will say to any new speaker, and this has been true for me in all my businesses, I'm not a speaker running a business. I'm a businesswoman who speaks. And that's where a lot of people in artistic fields like speaking or in entertainment or in catering, these are some of the businesses I have, they get that mixed up. And I think that's where the problem is. I'm always a businesswoman first. And a lot of speakers will say, well, I just want to speak. I don't want to run the business. I don't want to do the marketing. Well, they're going to stay in that 80-20, but they're going to be the 20. I mean, the 80. They're just not going to get the business. Because you have to, you got three choices. Learn it, delegate it, or hire it. That's it.
Mickey, great tips. Obviously, you know, you're so clear and you've given us so much information in just a very brief amount of time. I really want to thank you. How would our listeners get back in touch with you best?
Two ways. My website is mickeywilliams.com, M-I-K-K-I Williams. I warn you ahead of time. It may scare some people. I'm known in the industry. If you said the word outrageous anywhere in the world, everyone would know my name. It's my brand. My mantra is be outrageous. It's the only place that isn't crowded. So my website might scare you, but hopefully through this interview you realize there's a lot of substance behind the flash. It's just an image. And you can email me from there, or they can email me directly, Mickey, M-I-K-K-I, at mickeywilliams.com. I'd be happy to respond to any of your listeners, Bill.
Well, it's fantastic information. And again, Vistage International is a group that I belong to. I'm feel very strongly about. You've done so much for so many business owners and so many people that are looking to communicate clearly and effectively, and I really appreciate you coming on. There's a lot more I'd love to ask you, but we're out of time today, but thanks again for joining us. It's been a real pleasure.
Oh, thanks a lot, Bill. I appreciate the opportunity. Bye-bye.
Bye. We're going to take a short break. We'll be right back after this, so please stay tuned. We have more to come.
Business owners, if you came back from lunch and there was a resignation letter on your desk, which employee would you really, really not want it to be from? What are you doing to prevent this from happening? At Exit and Retirement Strategies, we design plans that attract, motivate, and retain key employees. For a free consultation, call Bill Black, the Exit Coach, at 866-370-3774. Call today.
Does thinking about what will happen to your business if you're gone keep you awake at night? Will you get the price you need from your business to carry you through retirement? The BEI Network of Exit Planning Professionals is the world's leading advisor network with the power to help business owners transition out of business on their own timeline and terms. Ask your most trusted advisor to create a BEI plan for you or visit us at exitplanning.com. That's exitplanning.com.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio. Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.